How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. I want to tell you two things. This is for you, Morgan, and for everyone listening. Number one, the guest that we have today is probably one of the most important, best guests we've ever had on this show. He's been on our show more than once, and it's probably one of the topics that we go back to over and over and over again. So you guys are in luck, and if this is the first episode of our show that you're hearing, my God, you came at a good time. Number two, slightly more important, I went for a consultation last week on if I was a good candidate for that laser treatment or like PRP under my eye. And it turns out that I'm not because I have too much under eye like skin slash I'm too hideous and too old. So I have to do like a lower, what is it called? The lower eye lift?
Oh, what's it called? A lower bleph, right?
Yeah, a lower bleph. Okay. So it went from, oh, okay, can Andrea just have a little nip tuck to let's gut her like a fish and rearrange her face like a goddamn Picasso. Whereas most people would react to that as like, no thanks, here's me leaning in, opening up my wallet.
You're like, I'm all in. You know what though? One thing you said, and I'm glad that you're doing what matters to you, first of all, no judgment, but I appreciate the person who told you that you're not a candidate for something because I really like people like that. I want to know the truth and I don't want to be upsold. And I think even in the legal world, people just unfortunately will upsell you or they want clients or in the medical world, yeah, you need this surgery or I can do this and make a few bucks. But that's a person who you have respect for because they're like, you know what, this isn't going to be good. And that's a person who appreciates the fact that even if they do something to you, you're probably going to be unhappy and then tell everyone how bad they sucked. So why do it, right?
Well, one of the key things that we talk about when we guide people on who to hire for the counsel is don't hire a yes man, right? And, you know, same thing for when you're looking to hire a plastic surgeon. Don't just hire someone who's going to tell you that you're beautiful and perfect. I mean, now, obviously, like, I'm pretty fucking close, but you know, like it was, I agree with you. It was very nice to hear someone who could have taken my money and said, sure, we can do all these treatments. But no, sometimes, because I thought that it was literally like the stress of the divorce and all this stuff that like aged me significantly in my face. And she looked at me and said, no, actually, this is hereditary. Like, and then she's like, show me pictures of your parents. And after she looked at those, she's like, look, This is in your bloodline. This is not something that's just from stress or lifestyle or whatever. This is in you. So I would be taking your money. So look, maybe divorce is also in your bloodline. I don't know. I think though, to tie it in to what we're talking about today, sometimes you think one thing and you want to react, right? If somebody comes at you with aggression, naturally you want to clap back. Right? Or maybe you're wired more like me and you want to run and hide and not respond to it at all. Well, that's actually not the right thing to do. And the person we're talking to today has a tailored method on how you most appropriately respond to somebody who's a high conflict individual. And it's not just because you want to be a nice person. There's actually some legal reasons why you should apply what he teaches. So probably one of our most often re-air episodes is one with our guest today, because what he offers to the divorce community is so relevant, helpful, and really freaking important.
You all, today we are chatting once again with the amazing Bill Eddy. And I want to tell you, before I even get into his background, I have used his books for years. And when you're wading through all the shit with divorce online, these are the books that really help. And these are the books that actually, for divorce lawyers, they help us communicate with other divorce lawyers and our clients. So here, Bill Eddy, he's an author, he's a lawyer, he's a therapist, mediator, and the co-founder and CIO of High Conflict Institute. If you've heard us talk before, I'm sure you have heard about us talking about BIF, or being a BIF. And that, my friends, comes from Bill himself. And today we're going to get into that and so much more. Bill Eddy, welcome back to How Not to Suck at Divorce. And it's shocking because you're not aging. We saw you a few years ago. You look just the same. So welcome.
Oh, shucks. Thanks. Well, thanks, Morgan. Thanks, Andrea. Good to be back on with you. I remember a couple of years ago, it was great.
You know, speaking of not aging, Morgan, maybe I need to get the name of Bill's plastic surgeon. Because, Bill, we were just talking before you came on about some procedure that I might need to have. And man, if I can look as good as you with all the work that you do and all the stress you must be under, you gotta share your secrets.
Well, let me just tell you, my secret is a great team and also my wife, who gets me outdoors and away from all this stuff on weekends and walks and hikes and trips. So keeps me young, I guess.
I mean, I guess I was really hoping you were going to give me the name of some like secret potion you're putting on, or maybe I need to start hanging out with your wife. So guys, listen, conflict, which is what we're talking about today. It's a very normal element of the human existence, right? Because if you're alive, you're going to have some form of conflict. You're not going to always get along with your friends or your coworkers, family members, romantic partners. And you're certainly not going to always agree with the person you're divorcing, because conflict is kind of built into the equation on that one. So why is it so important that somebody should take the time and the energy to apply methods that Bill has, that we're about to teach you? Why should somebody even take the energy to diffuse conflict, Bill?
Because it really makes such a better situation for you, for yourself, as well as for your child or your kids. So what happens is, first of all, the court structure, and divorce is a legal process, is built on conflict and having two sides. And we often talk about the other side. And so that escalates conflict. And if you're dealing with a high conflict co-parent, partner, spouse, ex-spouse, you're also dealing with their push towards conflict. So you're kind of one of three aspects here, and you can only control yourself. But you can, and what's amazing is a lot of it is about emotions, and emotions are contagious. So you can kind of build a shield around yourself and put out positive emotions that you want the other person to absorb and respond to. And that's what our techniques generally do, is help you stay calm and positive and help you also not absorb the other person's anger, hostility, hurt, fear, etc. So the only person you can control is yourself, but you can really have a huge influence on the whole system.
And I want to reiterate one of the things that you are talking about, Bill, which is how to control yourself. But I want to bring it back to legal terms and, as a divorce lawyer, kind of why it matters and why your methods matter. It matters because if you are controlling yourself and you're using the methods that you have put out in your books, and we'll get into what those actually look like in a little bit, you're saving yourself money. Mm-hmm. You're saving yourself money because you're communicating better. You're not starting conflict for no reason. You're not escalating. In fact, you're de-escalating it. And I want to say, you know, for the listeners, it's like, maybe some of you are thinking to yourself, oh, this divorce lawyer is on here talking and telling me what to do to save money. Well, actually, I've lived this BIF the way that Bill Eddy has put it in the book. And I want to tell you how I've lived it. So I got your books many, many years ago, Bill, before we had ever met on this podcast, as a young attorney. I don't know why, but I was like looking through, you know, Amazon a long, long time ago. It popped up. I'm like, these seem interesting. Maybe I'll get it. This was back in the day where, you know, you're a young attorney, you're trying to you're navigating the conflict between yourself and other attorneys, trying to keep the heat down in the cases. And so I bought your book and I started using Biff. And I will tell you, for the listeners out there, it has calmed down the situation between attorneys so much since I started using it. In fact, I teach it to my younger attorneys in the office on how to respond, because everybody knows, first of all, you can't really understand the tone in email unless you're blatantly telling someone where to go, right? So tone can be misread, but when you're doing the Biff model, that rarely is misread. It's really kind of a way to save money in your cases, and it could be used by you, the client, and it could be used by your attorney. So super valuable.
Thanks so much for pointing that out. And I want to add a couple things for lawyers and people going to court. You look a whole lot better using the Biff method in your emails when the judge reads, because so many emails end up in court today, when the judge reads how you responded to the other person saying you're an idiot and you're terrible and you always do it wrong, and then you respond brief, informative, friendly, and firm. And I tell you, I've been at conferences where I've been on panels with judges, and I'll have a judge read an email conversation that's terrible from both people's point of view. And they'll say, now, which one do you think is the difficult person? Because they both look difficult. And so I know this is important to them. I'll give you one quick story. I heard recently there was a judge in one of the states that finished a long trial with a couple and said at the end of the trial, I'm giving you each a copy of this book, Biff for Co-Parent Communication. If I ever see you again, and I hope for your sake I don't, I'm going to want to look at your emails and see if you've been using this method. So good luck. And I just thought that was great, because it's a simple structure that anyone can do, even under stress.
Andrea, should we get into the structure since we've talked about it so much?
I think that it's really important now to tell everybody what these acronyms are and how you can use them. And then we're going to go right back to why it's important to use them. And guys, keep an open mind, because I know a lot of our listeners are navigating situations with high conflict individuals, and you're probably thinking, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I say, because she has borderline personality disorder or he's a narcissist, and whatever I say is going to get turned around. We hear you. Just stay with us, okay? All right. With that, Bill, let's start with Biff. Let's start with Biff. I want to do Biff and ear, but let's start with Biff, and let's tell everybody what it stands for and how it can be used.
So Biff stands for brief, informative, friendly, and firm, and it's designed for writing, mostly for email and text correspondence, but also letters if you have to write them, etc. And the idea is, first of all, let's say you get a really hostile email and it goes on for a couple pages. You've done everything wrong. You should have no time with the kids. You're a horrible person, all of that. And you're going, how do I respond and respond to each of those allegations? And the thing is, a Biff is brief, meaning usually one paragraph. Maybe it's 4, 5, 6 sentences. Most of the time, that's really all you need. Secondly, it's informative. You provide some information. You don't argue with what the other person said. You say, here's some information you may not have, so that you correct if they're wrong on something. Don't say, you're wrong, buddy. Just say, here's some information you may not have. And then say, here's the time of the play at school, and here's the way kids are supposed to dress, and here's this. Give kind of logistical information, who, what, when, and where kind of information. The overall, the first F is friendly. It should have a friendly tone, like, thank you for telling me your concerns. And the thing is, you can say that even if they've said horrible things. You can say, thank you for telling me your concerns. Here's some information you may not have. And then firm. And by firm, we don't mean harsh. We mean that you try to end the conversation so that what you say is probably the last word that you want to say on this subject. And often the best biffs don't ever get another response. It's like that topic is dead, and you've poured cold water on the flames, and that's really what we want. But I want to mention that you also could end it with a question. If you need an answer to something, try to make it a yes or no question. Please let me know by Thursday at 5, something like that, yes or no. So all of that could be a biff.
Mm-hmm. And one way that we use it legally in cases when we get, so let's just pretend for a minute, I usually get cases where they're high conflict. And when that happens, sometimes the attorneys are kind of sucked into it. They can't take themselves out of it. So they essentially are manifesting what their client is bringing to them. And one of the best ways to tone that down is a biff response. So sometimes we get an email where it's the lawyer kind of manifesting what the client has told them, going on in an email. Your client did this and your client did this. And if this happens, I'm going to do this in court. And the best response, it takes the wind out of their sails, is exactly what Bill said. It's when you get a book of all this stuff about what your client did wrong legally as an attorney, and you respond and thank them for the email and say, here's some information you might not know, very quick to the point, you know, your client was drunk at this point in time, but I will talk to my client and get back to you as, you know, when I have time. The end. It takes the wind out of their sails. They have nothing to come back at you with, and it just kind of tones it down completely. Again, email warriors, not my favorite. I'd rather get on a phone call, but inevitably, lawyers are going to get emails like this. Clients are going to get emails like this from your spouse, from, you know, whoever. It even happens. I mean, Bill, you're kind of a genius, I got to say, because this can be used even in your workplace,
right,
to tone down your discussions with coworkers when there's something that's amping everyone up. Andrea, what do you got?
What I want to say, and this is something that'll actually segue into the EAR acronym, is something that goes back to my very early days, my background in acting, which is I had an acting coach once that told me, if you're on stage or if you're on camera, you have to want something. You have to have an objective. If you didn't have a reason to be on stage, then you wouldn't be on stage, right? So you have to want something. When you're speaking, you have to think, am I getting what I want? Is what I'm saying right now convincing this person that I'm on stage acting with? We're inching myself closer to what my reason for being on stage is. It is important to think when you're communicating with somebody whom you don't necessarily want to be communicating with them, are you speaking in a way that's going to help you get what you want? And if you're coming at somebody with aggression, that's not going to help them open their brain up to a possibility that they're not already entering the scene with. And that leads us into this other acronym, which I absolutely love the book that you wrote about being an EAR. And I even use this all the time in my like day job. So talk us through what EAR stands for.
So EAR, E-A-R, stands for empathy, attention, and respect. And the idea is this is designed more for a live conversation, whether it's virtual, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in person, is you want to give the other person, a statement that shows empathy or attention or respect or all three even. But just one of those tends to calm the conversation. So someone's angry with you and they say, you know, it's all your fault, Bill. You've done it all wrong. And if I can respond and say, you know, I hear you're really frustrated right now, and let's look at what we can do, rather than, no, I'm not, you're the idiot. Right. So it calms the conversation. And actually, one of you mentioned the brain. What we're finding is this really, in many ways, the brain has two different approaches to conflict and resolution. Kind of the logical, you know, let's solve a math problem that will solve the problem, and the emotional. And what we find is ear statements really calm the emotions because they target the emotions rather than the information. So rather than saying, you're all wrong, buddy, this and this and this, or even for lawyers saying, well, the law says, but when someone's real upset, they're not hearing, you're talking to the wrong brain. So what we want is for them to hear we're connecting with them. So I can understand your frustration. I hear your disappointment. I know this isn't the way you wanted it to go. Let's look at what we can do.
One of the things that I do, and I'm bringing it back today because I think it's so important to understand a lawyer's brain or your lawyer's brain. So, you know, we get in heated conversations a lot with the other side. We just do. So if a phone call happens and the other side is going crazy about your client did X, Y, and Z, the fastest way that I usually see to kind of calm them down is ear. I didn't even really know I was doing ear, but I feel like, oh yeah, I've been doing ear now. And it's immediately saying, hey, I hear you. I know you're really upset about this. Guess what? I feel the same way with what I'm dealing with right now. So now we've put ourselves in the same exact, I'm empathetic to them,
right?
But I'm also telling them that I'm in the same boat. So it kind of calms them originally. And it gives them the ability to kind of see both sides. Like, okay, we got to solve a problem here. But you're right, Bill. It's that attention, that respect, but also the empathy, I think, is maybe I would say the biggest thing that lawyers need when they're having a really high conflict discussion with the other side.
We see this all the time, you guys, in everyday life. Have you noticed if you're at a store and you see a really disgruntled customer and they're complaining to the store manager, like maybe they're arguing about a return policy, right? They're like, this isn't right. I know I bought this sweater in 1987, but now it doesn't fit and I don't want it. And I don't like the fact that I can't bring it back. It's not fair, right? And you can have managers that are like, ma'am, I know it's our policy, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. You're going to have to, right? Or you have a manager that says, I hear you. I completely get it. Automatically, that woman who wants to return that old ass sweater is like, oh, they hear me. Okay, they get it. And only then can you move towards the resolution.
Yeah. I want to really reinforce a few phrases that people can use. And one that what you're saying really fits is, I'll work with you on this. And I remember being in a situation once at a hotel where something was totally messed up, and there was a couple of us, and we were both pretty frustrated and angry and wanting to go to sleep. And the person behind the desk says, "I'll work with you on this." Immediately diffuse. It's like, okay, we're just going to solve this as a problem. And that's why it's so important to think of kind of your emotional brain and your logical brain, because the customer reps that say, well, the policy says, they say it louder and louder and louder, are talking to the wrong brain. You need to talk to the emotional brain and say, you know, I hear you. I can see this is frustrating. Let's see what we can do. And that really, knowing which brain you want to talk to, and I want to add something real quick here, and that is our brains tend to mirror each other. And so we tend to mirror the emotions of the moment. If the other person's angry, our brain wants to get angry back. But you can override that and say, nope, now's not the time to get angry. So it's possible to use this.
You know, I know, Andrea, you have something to say, but Bill, you just said something. My brain is like on fire. So you said that our emotions mirror other people's emotions, right? And so I have a story. This weekend, I went out of town. I went with a group that I belong with, and we were seated at a table that at one side of the table, we really didn't know a lot of the people, and the other side we did. And the one group that we were with our group, was so fun, so high energy. We were having a great time, and we are seated and we look down at the other end of the table, and it is just like, I don't know what they ate for dinner, but their energy is so bad, so negative. It was just like such a Debbie Downer. And it was really difficult as adults to keep our high energy up because we kept feeling this negative energy coming from the other side of the table. I mean, it was so unbelievable that we could let our wonderful time start to seep in with their bad time. But that's so true. So if you're a spouse out there and you're dealing with your ex and you're having a great day and you get this lunatic email or nasty interaction, you're going to feel something. Is that right, Bill?
Absolutely. It's we mirror the positive, we mirror the negative. We don't do it exactly, so we can override that. And that's what parents do with kids. You got a child doing a tantrum, and you're calmly saying, you know, that's not okay, and we're going to eat soon, and you can cope with this. And then they mirror their parent. And that's how we learn. So much we learn by emotional mirroring.
So I want to give people something that they can wrap their arms around, right? So let's go back to Biff, because as we joked years ago, we want you to be a Biff and not a bitch. With that, I know it's easier to be a bitch, you guys, because fuck, you're tired, you're overwhelmed, you're stressed. You cannot believe that you once married this person and now you are trying to untangle all of this chaos. They are hitting you where it hurts. The stakes are really high, and you're probably thinking again, okay, you guys, it's a really nice story, Morgan, about your vacation and Andrea, your old lady trying to return a sweater, but why the hell should I treat this person with any form of respect? Why do I don't want to use an acronym. I'm not in third grade. Fuck all of you guys. This is stupid. Morgan, really quickly, let's just remind everybody how expensive it gets when you don't apply these tools.
Well, it gets expensive with everything Andrea and I talk about. That's why we're trying to do divorce better. But this is such an easy way to cut them off at the knees. So think of it that way. You're pissed. You want to respond being pissed. Don't do it. Cut them off at the knees by being brief, informative, firm, and friendly. Cut off the conversation. It's more powerful of a tool than doing anything else. And here's the thing. It's going to save you so much money in your divorce. I have not met a client yet that doesn't want to save money. And this is the way to do it. Point blank, save yourself money.
Because every ounce of conflict makes your divorce more expensive. And why? Because the more conflict you have, the more your attorneys have to get involved. And think about it, you guys. For every correspondence that your ex has with an attorney, because you sent an email that was aggressive, well, guess what? Now your attorney is charging you to read the email that you didn't even send, that opposing counsel sent, because you were acting like an animal. So think before you do this. And we're going to give you a concrete example. There are not higher stakes in the world beyond like your children, right? If your child's involved, automatically stakes are high. Well, what would make it even higher? Let's say your child has like a medical situation. So now you have a sick child or a child that needs some medical attention, and you have to communicate with your co-parent, and you just want to punch them in the face. We don't want you to do that.
Nope.
Unless it's going to lead them to some sort of like plastic surgery that maybe they want long term anyway. Not trying to make it about me again, but my God. So let's say you're not going to punch them in the face and help them with a lower bluff. Let's say you want to save money. So Bill, talk us through what we're about to show everybody right now from your book.
Yeah. So this is an example. In our Biff for Co-Parent Communication book, we have about 30 examples of written conversations, how not to do them, and then how to do them. So they all pretty much have an incoming hostile email or text. So I'm going to read an incoming one, and then Andrea is going to respond with a possible Biff, and then we'll look at it and analyze, is that or isn't? Because we have a series of questions, and let me just mention these. We actually have 10 questions to ask about a BIP. So if you draft something, you can ask yourself these questions, or if someone's coaching you, like a lawyer can ask you these questions, because lawyers rewrite clients' emails all the time.
all the time.
Charge you for it.
But
they do.
But if you can get the client to learn to ask themselves these questions, that's another way they can save money. And also, lawyers get tired of rewriting their clients' emails. They do it. They get paid to do it, but they get tired of it. So if you can teach the client, and I'll tell you what the questions are, but first I want to see what Andrea wants to say.
What I want to say is, as we're talking about really high conflict situations, I want to say that if you are in a situation where things have gotten, I joked around it before about punching someone in the face, but if you are in a situation where things are really, really tense, then I want to take a minute to encourage you to use all of the tools available to you. One of the tools that we love the most on this podcast is our Family Wizard, because our Family Wizard is one of the safest, if not the safest place to have communications with a high conflict individual. And one of the tools that they offer is communications that can be court monitored if need be, in addition to utilizing the tools that we're going to go over right now, Biff and Ear. They also have a tone meter within our Family Wizard. So if you write something and they're like, this might sound a little bit too aggressive, it's going to give you an indication of that. But if you are feeling not so confident in communicating just directly between your co-parent, use this tool. It is a tool in your toolbox that exists for a reason. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, great. Let me quickly tell you the 10 questions. First is it brief? Next is it informative? Just straight information, no opinions, emotions, judgments, defenses, reactions. Third is it friendly? Fourth is it firm? Does it end the hostile conversation? Fifth question is, does it contain any advice? Because when someone sends you an angry email or text, they're not asking for your advice. So you don't want advice. The sixth is admonishments. That's like talking down, like talking to a child saying, and by the way, lawyers do this a lot with each other. Where did you go to law school? How did you ever get admitted to practice?
Have you ever read the law?
Then let's see, that's seven, I think. Eight is, does it contain any apologies? And this is confusing to people. Apologies can be really good to resolve conflicts, but an apology with an angry person or high conflict person often turns into ammunition that gets used against you, especially in writing, because they print it out and they show everybody else. And even if you apologize for this little thing, what they hear is it's all your fault and you agree. So we discourage putting in apologies. And I've worked with, for example, women domestic violence victim survivors who've done a lot of apologies in writing. And you know it's to calm the other person, the abusive person. And you don't want to feed that. You don't want to reinforce. It's like you're reinforcing that it's your fault and that they're not responsible for their behavior. Next question is, how do you think the other person will respond? So kind of picture them responding. And then, now would you change anything, take out, add, or revise anything? Last question is, should I get someone else to read this? And so if you're coaching them, like you're, say you're a lawyer, and the last question is, do you want to know my thoughts as your lawyer about this? And usually people are open and say, yeah, tell me your thoughts. But you want to end with saying, but it's up to you. So let's say you're a relative, you're a friend, you're a coworker, or a lawyer, that it's still up to the person that's sending the email. They have to be responsible for it, not you. So are you ready?
Okay, let's get into this example.
Okay, so this is Carlos and Maria, and they've been divorced a couple of years, and they've got a son named Junior. And so I'm going to play Carlos, and this is Carlos's email to Maria. When I got Junior today, he had an ear infection and needed to be taken to the doctor. The doctor said it was obvious he got sick at your house over the weekend, and all caps, you did nothing about it. He had prescribed antibiotics, which you need to make sure to be taken twice a day in his ear. I am sending the bottle with him to school tomorrow, so make sure he has it in his backpack when you pick him up. Once again, you have been, all caps, irresponsible about Junior's health care, and I have to clean up after your irresponsibility. I will discuss this with my lawyer and decide whether to return to court to reduce your parenting time for the health and safety of our son.
Wow. Woof.
So how should Maria respond?
Maria, what do you think?
Well, I would tell you what I would say, but instead I'll just You know, it's so funny. Like, I know this is totally fictional, but you can't help but have an emotional response. Am I right, Morgan? Like, as a mom, don't you just want to, like, start telling, like, Carlos, like, shut the fuck up. Like, what do you mean the doctors? Like, I can tell where he got it. What is he, a fucking wizard?
Well, like, put the mom aside, too, because, like, whatever. When I'm a lawyer, I read these all the time. It makes me not like the other side, which is so nuts because I'm like, I'm going to hammer you because you're an asshole, you know? Like, that's not what you want at all. So, yes.
And it's so funny because these aren't even real people, right? But now we hate Carlos.
Carlos sucks.
These are based on real ones. So,
I know, but you know, it's so funny.
We're out to get Carlos.
Give me his address, Bill. Where's he at? I need to talk to Carlos. Okay. So I'm going to read to you.
This is a draft. Right.
This is a draft of what Maria wanted to write back. And then we're going to analyze whether this was truly a biff or not. So here we go. Thank you for taking Junior to the doctor. I will follow the directions for his medication. I was not irresponsible with Junior, and he had no signs of an ear infection while with me. As you may know, those symptoms can come on very quickly. I am fairly sure the doctor did not tell you that he obviously got the ear infection while with me. I will keep you advised of Junior's condition while he is with me.
So let me switch roles and pretend I'm your lawyer or your coach and ask you a few questions about this. Does that sound okay to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So would you say that was brief?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say no.
Okay. Well, hold
that
thought.
We have a disagreement.
Let's hold that thought. And by the way, we go through the list until question 9, then we discuss all of them.
Okay.
I actually, you know what? I have to change. Now that I'm rereading, I kind of blacked out a little bit. I agree that it was not totally brief, because I think that she gave away more information than she needed to.
Okay. Well, hold that thought, because we're going to look at question 9, whether to make any changes. Do you think it was informative, just straight information, no arguments, opinions, emotions, all that?
No.
No. Okay. Do you think that that was friendly?
No.
Okay.
I think it could have been better. I think that she did say thank you, but I still think that it didn't. Yeah. Meh.
So it feels like she attempted to do a biff. And that's
exactly
important.
It feels like she attempted, but if I were Carlos reading this, I would not feel like it was at all empathetic to my concerns. Yeah.
Okay. It was a biff fail. Keep going. Bill.
Was it firm? Did it end the hostile conversation, or is there something in there that's going to incite a further response?
Oh, there's going to be further response from the divorce lawyer's ears to God. There's going to be a response.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, is there any advice in there?
She gave advice? No.
Okay.
I mean, she suggested that the doctor was wrong, but no, she's not offering any insight.
Okay. Does it have any admonishments, talking down to him?
Oh, it's condescending. The whole thing's condescending.
She's right that the doctor probably didn't say that, but there's no need to include that in the email is my thought.
So I'm fairly sure the doctor did not tell you that.
Right. That to me
liar.
Is snarky. Right.
Yeah.
Liar.
Is there any apologies in there?
No.
No. Okay. Now, how do you think that Carlos is going to respond?
Oh, he's going to respond. He's going to be, to me, that email is like welcoming a nasty response. Like, bring it on. Carlos is going to be so excited to write one.
Right.
What would he say, Morgan?
Oh, the thing that made me cringe as a divorce lawyer is she's kind of leaving the door open. Like, now they're going to fight over what was reasonable or not. Now they're going to fight over whether the doctor truly said it or not. So a lot of her statements can't really be backed up and they're unnecessary. So she's leaving this door open for Carlos to walk right through and engage in another fight on email.
And my thought is, from my standpoint and somebody who lived this, I don't think it much matters how the child got an ear infection. Just skip over that. Let's just talk about, like, okay, like I've got the medication, blah, blah, blah. One of the concerns that no one has mentioned yet, which was a little Easter egg dropped in Carlos's email, I don't like the fact that he put the medication in the kid's backpack for the kid to transport his own medication to school. That seems like something that I would say is like, you know what? Don't even worry. How about you leave it outside and I'll come pick it up myself? Because I don't think the child should be responsible for, you know, carrying his own medication. It also seems like the school won't like that. But aside the point, let's just focus on the care of the child and not try to dissect where the hell the kid got the ear infection. I'll tell you, I went through this a year ago with my co-parent, and it wasn't even something that I accused someone of doing, but he was so caught up in how the kids got sick.
Right.
And it was like a conversation that he ended up just having with himself, and it died faster because I didn't play into it.
Right. Good.
Like, it doesn't matter. The kid is sick. Okay. Let's just solve the problem.
And that's one of the big things with high conflict people is don't get stuck arguing about the past. It's over, it's done, and you can't win that argument. No one can win it. Talk about what to do now. Exactly.
Yep. So, all right. So what should she have done?
Well, let's do the next. Ninth question is, what would you want to change? Is there anything in there you'd want to change now that you've looked at it?
Everything.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, good. We'll get to an alternative then. And the last is, do you want anyone else's advice about it?
So I would, as a lawyer, I would hope that my client would come to me after that rude email from Carlos and say, hey, either how do I respond and let me write it? Or here's what I wanted to respond or want to. Can you give me the green light? So I think that's where you're going, Bill, right?
Exactly. That's ideally is tell them, draft your response, and then I'll look it over and give you my thoughts. Because you want them to practice trying to do this, and people get better and better. And what's amazing is I get feedback from lawyers that their clients have been writing this way for like 6 months or 9 months, and they say, now the other side's writing back this way, and they don't even know it's a technique.
But I love it.
They stop getting some of that hostility because your client's email looks so much more reasonable. So let's say, okay, we agree you want to rewrite it. Let's see what would another, try another draft now, Andrea. See what you can do. And let's see if this is a biff.
Okay, are we reading the top of 88 now, Bill?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. So here's her second take. Carlos, thank you for taking Junior to the doctor. I will follow the directions for his medication. Junior had no signs of ear infection while with me. As you know, those symptoms can come on very quickly. I will keep you advised of Junior's condition while he is with me.
Boom.
That's the end. Well, let's ask the first question. Is that brief?
Yes.
Yeah, you nailed the brief. Is that straight information without arguments, opinions, emotions, defenses? Absolutely. It's totally informative. Is it have a friendly tone?
Friendly-ish.
Yeah, I think friendly enough. And it's important to know you don't have to be super friendly here. So she said, thank you for taking Junior to the doctor. Well, that it starts it off in a friendly tone. Even though he was hostile, you totally turn the tone of the conversation. And then is it firm? Will it end the conversation? Are there any hooks that are going to make him respond?
Yeah, no, she ended it. I mean, she was just point blank and there's nothing else. What could he say to that, right? And also, from a legal point of view, that response, a judge would be like, wow, you really like are to the point. You're not messing anything up. You're giving him the information. Like, she just really hit it on all levels on that response.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. If Carlos still feels the need to respond because he wants to have the last word, like, actually, you can, blah, 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 then she doesn't have to respond to that next email. If he chooses to keep it going, Maria has said her piece. She's done. Yeah. She's handled it from a legal perspective.
And that's a really important point, because sometimes, regardless of what you do, they respond and you don't have to respond further. Or if you think you need to say something, is say, I have nothing further to say. My email of, you know, April 20th said it all. Have a good weekend.
Morgan, is it important? You know, we noticed that in this last example, Maria still addressed that the child was not exhibiting symptoms while in her care, right? And you and I was saying before we read that, like, why does it matter? The past is in the past. Let's just treat the damn kid and move on. But from a legal standpoint, is there any reason why it is important to address any kind of accusation like, you ignored the health of our child while in your care?
So I would say yes, because in any case, they want to know if it ever went to a judge or a custody evaluator. I'm just thinking worst case scenario. They want to know, one, whether a parent's making good decisions for the child or children. And two, they want to know, can they get along enough to make the best decision for the children? And there's a lot of allegations. So Carlos is lobbing these allegations, trying to make it seem like she's some deficient mom.
Right.
And she is cutting him off at the knees there, saying, I didn't see anything. If she just left it and was like, hey, thanks for the medicine, I'll give it to him and I'll keep you posted on how he looks, it might be like a little weird, like, oh, she must be admitting the fact that he's been complaining of ear infection like issues all weekend. And then I sent him to dad's, you know? So
especially since he added that part at the end of his email, and I was just looking over it where he's like, I'm going to have to readjust your parenting time, you know? So that's why I'm like, oh, maybe she does need to see.
But she did it in a way that doesn't leave any hooks. In other words, he can't argue with the fact that he didn't have an ear infection during her time. And she's saying he didn't have it. And she's saying why, that they can come on very quickly. And whether that's debatable or not, it certainly makes sense, so that it covers the issue from her point of view. And I think, you know, as Morgan was saying, that it may be helpful if he's threatening going back to court.
And I want to say one thing. Yeah. Right. And I want to say one thing legally again. I'm just going to bring it back there. If you can figure out as a client how to draft those responses by using Bill's Biff or ear on the phone, it again is going to cut off this issue of the ear infection could balloon into numerous phone calls between lawyers, maybe a petition filed in court, maybe a mediator. I mean, you can let these issues balloon huge. Here, if you follow the Biff formula, now you've cut this issue off. And even if you have to use your lawyer to help you kind of like figure out how to respond at first until you learn, you're still saving money. And then the point that you actually can respond this way yourself and cut this issue off completely and not involve your lawyer in this issue, winner. Now you're saving big dollars.
And it's not about taking your attorney out of the equation. No, you absolutely need your attorney, but we want you to use that time wisely. So think about how much time you're saving by bringing this information to that email that you send your attorney and say, hey, I got this. I would like to respond with this. What are your thoughts? As opposed to you not doing that and you fire off a response that's equally as inflammatory. And now you're paying for a lot more communication and a lot more issues and possibly responding to a motion that could be filed in court. I mean, so keep that in mind. This is not about, you know, like not using your attorney. This is about utilizing your attorney in the smartest way.
Let me add, it's not just about saving time and saving money. It's also saving your own stress. So many clients tell me, I'm so stressed. I got another hostile email this morning. I'm just, oh. And so the stress, knowing there's a formula you can work with, knowing in many ways you can set it aside often for 24 hours, or in this case, she needs to respond that she'll be doing the medication, but not letting it take over your life, that you can really minimize that. And one tip, and it's kind of a trick, that one of the co-authors, Kevin Chafin, a family therapist, and Annette Burns, a family lawyer, co-authored this book with me. And what Kevin said is he recommends now taking the incoming email and crossing out everything that's not relevant and seeing if there's something I need to respond to in here. And so if you were to take Carlos's email in here, I think there's one statement he basically says medicate antibiotics, which you'll need to make sure he takes twice a day in his ear. There's like half a sentence that you want to respond to, and the rest of it's irrelevant. And that often diffuses some of the tension and stress. Let me just mention, earlier, Morgan said you can use this method at work. And we actually have a little book called Biff at Work. And you'll be excited to know this. We also now have a book, Biff for Lawyers and Law Offices. That's our newest Biff
book. Yeah.
And so it's got 30 examples for lawyers with each other, lawyers with clients, staff in a law office, et cetera. So this method, it's so simple, and yet it's really powerful. And I must say, I'm using it more now than ever in my work, because professionals and people I don't know sometimes write me hostile emails. And so I need to go, okay, I've got to use Biff or no one's going to have any credibility for me. So thanks for the chance to discuss it.
We appreciate you and your time so much. And I cannot tell you like how much we talk about you and all of your tools on our show and in all of our offerings. So thank you so much for the work that you do. We're going to link to everything, the books and all of that good stuff in the show notes, so people can grab a copy of this information that will really make their lives so much easier.
Thanks so much for letting me share this stuff and for being such good promoters. And best wishes with all your good work.
Thanks, Bill. All right, if you blacked out during part of that conversation because it was too overwhelming to think like, man, I don't want to have to be a nice person. This is not for me. I want to remind you why it should be for you, okay? You don't want to bankrupt yourself through this process. You don't want to have to make your children feel even more tension than they're already feeling. You don't want to lose half your hair or rip out your hair extensions or your lash extensions or your hair transplant, whatever's growing up there, over the stress that you are inducing on yourself because you can't communicate in an effective way. This is not about getting back together. This is about communicating effectively. Just like in your workplace, right?
And it's also about communicating in a way that if the judge sees it or another professional, they're not like, hey, lunatic, you just tanked your case. Mm-hmm. Carlos, you're a nut job. Okay, case closed. No,
Maria, you too, right? Yeah. Because both Maria and Carlos would look equally guilty in not being able to treat the goddamn ear infection, right? This fucking Junior's walking around with fluid in his ears because mom and dad are like, well, I don't know. Guys, find the resolution. So this is important. These conversations that we're having on the show is important. And what's even more important is you take these acronyms and apply them to your communication.
That's right. So let's go through the acronyms one more time. So remember, if you're writing an email, the right acronym per Bill Eddy is BIFF. That response is brief, informative, firm, and friendly. Okay, that's the response.
And when you're speaking to somebody, you know that you want something from them. So you want to use the EAR acronym. You want to show empathy, attention, and respect. Even if they're acting like a total butthead, you have to get on their level. Who am I speaking to somebody in a way that's going to help me get anything that I want? You guys, this can be used in your day-to-day life outside of getting a divorce. So you're going to use this knowledge for the rest of your life. I'm telling you, we use it all the time.
It's literally one of the first books I purchased as a young attorney, and I'm still using it a million years later, even though I still feel like I'm 25 years old. Apparently, I'm not. What I'm saying to you is there's a bunch of crap out there on divorce, and not all of it is worth it. Bill Eddy's books are worth it.
And if you need more guidance, I was about to say, if you need your hand held even more, and there's nothing wrong with saying that because we all need our hands held sometimes. On our website, we have guides that are going to point out exact these templates. So if you listen to this and you're like, I get it, but I think I need more, we have a guide that you can purchase. It's a nominal price of how exactly should I be communicating with my co-parent. We even have breakdowns that's how you should be communicating with your attorney. So you can save money, you can save a headache, and you can get to the finish line in the healthiest way possible. Because like we said, this spot that you're in right now, it's not your forever. 5 years from now, you can be and you will be a whole lot happier and healthier. And if you listen to us, you'll have a whole lot more shoes in your closet and maybe even a lower bleph to boot.
Whoa, that's some serious fighting words right there. No, but really, you're in a divorce and a divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. We say that all the time. Some days are okay days. Some days really suck. And sometimes it's hour by hour. It's not even day by day. But for those crappy days, we're here for you. And we want you to do this better. And if you need more community, we have a private community. Join it. It's free. There's other like-minded people that are getting their questions answered or just up there venting. And you're going to feel better. If you need more help, again, go on our website. We have a divorce crash course. We have other informational tools that you can purchase. It's great. But here's the best part. Andrea and I do this to help people. So if you need something, DM us. We respond to every direct message that comes through.
We do. We're going to help you through this. We're here holding your hand the entire way. I promise you that you can do this. I promise you. I know that you can. And remember, you have got this.
And we, my friends, have got you.